I love it that Kaylee always starts out with a meditation to get people going. And so here's something from the Dalai Lama, one of my favorite people in the world. Every day, think as you wake up, today I'm fortunate to be alive. I have a precious human life. I'm not going to waste it. I am going to use all my energies to develop myself, to expand my heart out to others, to achieve enlightenment for the benefit of all beings. I'm going to have kind thoughts towards others. I'm not going to get angry or think badly about others. I'm going to benefit others as much as I can. For the Dalai Lama. So, I tell you, this chapter was an amazing chapter. There's something about Holmes that I'd never really seen before. And anything I've read, and that is that he has a great sense of humor. And this chapter was, I was so fortunate to be able to be assigned to do the talk on that chapter. It gave me a lot to think about. And, he starts out with the thought that the very first need of man is to love and to be loved. And I figure most of us feel the same way. While this may seem obvious, I'd never really thought about it. It hadn't occurred to me. And he said that everybody needs to love, and this love needs to be returned, or we aren't happy. Perhaps this might be the cause of a lot of problems in marriage, but and in friendships too. Because love is such a tremendous power. And Holmes says that love looses the greatest energy in the universe. And I was thinking of atom bomb or something like that. The greatest spiritual energy. And without love, there's a certain part of life that doesn't come to fulfillment. So I don't know about you guys, but I've watched Judy Woodruff a lot over the years. And she used to chair the PBS NewsHour. And she stopped doing that, and now she's working on defining divisiveness in this country. And that's part of the program that's called America at a Crossroads. And I've really enjoyed some of the interviews that she's conducted that, she's trying to bring people together as opposed to being, angry with each other. And I was thinking, well, if I had a neighbor, for instance, who's against having grass growing around our houses and wants ground-hugging plants that both flower and don't require mowing, there may be some conflict because I want grass. And maybe as I get to know this person and listen to them, I may come to admire their vision and the desire for a cleaner environment. After all, we want to feel wanted, we want to feel needed and loved, and perhaps talking about alternatives to grassy lawns may bring about a feeling of love between us. And it couldn't have happened without that single source of conflict, which is why conflict isn't necessarily bad as long as you're willing to try to see both sides. So I'm really grateful to Judy Woodruff for all the work she's done on divisiveness and coming together. It's helped me a lot. So Holmes says that sometimes we like people really well, and then we become fearful that the feelings are not reciprocated. I know it never happened to me. And we act towards them in a way that's stiff, and our feelings get hurt, and we get hurt over nothing. To really have a loving friendship or relationship, we need to release that fear and sensitivity and focus on the wholeness and the love that we have within us. And boy, there is a lot of love within each of us. After all, God lives within us, right? And God is love. So we just need to reach within and feel that deep well of love within us. And I know it's there for each one of us. And he recommends that in the background of our thoughts, we should be thinking, I love you. If you're ever in a situation with another person where you're feeling a little tense and maybe they don't like you as much as you like them, just remember, you are filled with love. So you shouldn't be worrying about what that other person may be thinking or if they're judging you. After all, if you're feeling emanating some fear and discomfort, the law of attraction says you may be bringing some of that in. And so if you Allow in the back of your mind to be thinking, I love you, I love you. Can you repeat that over and over in your brain? Or what if you said it out loud to the person? What if I said, I love each one of you? Would you feel uncomfortable? I don't at this point in my life. Perhaps you just feel uncomfortable saying to people that you love them because they may think you're some sentimental idiot. And I love Holmes's words. So, anyhow, I have a personal story. As many of you know, I'm from New England, and I come from a very a family that didn't talk much about our feelings, particularly towards one another. And I used to call my father every week at 5 o'clock, and I've been doing this for years. And so this past year in March, I was on the phone with him for our weekly call, and all of a sudden I said, Dad, I love you. And he responded with, I love you too, Judy. We'd never said those words before. And I was like amazed. I felt like I'd exploded inside. And I'd never heard him from my mother, that's for sure, but she's long gone. So I felt suddenly something opening inside of me. And that feeling has continued since then. It's amazing how that happened. And less than maybe about 4 or 5 days after that, my father made his transition. And I believe that our conversation may have had something to do with it. You know, just that explosion. And he finally heard something from one of his kids that he never heard before. So it's made it easier for me to say those forbidden words to others. I practice on my dog and my son a lot. But I just feel like something inside of me, like a door opened, and I just feel this freedom. And I think, oh, that's what Holmes was talking about. So as the time passed in my new world, I've noticed, for instance, if I wave and smile at strangers freely, they smile back and wave back. And now, you know, when I take tickets, for instance, at a concert for a friend of mine, I feel so much grat, and I'm feeling sitting there feeling gratitude that they've come to hear the musician. I smile at them, and I've noticed that they get very warm towards me in return. It's amazing. And I'm thinking that that conversation I had with my father was like a turning point in my life. When all of a sudden I'm in a new place and I feel oneness and I feel a lot of love, it's not a foreign feeling and it's great. And now I know what he was talking about, that love is, we need that energy in our life. Have you ever felt a similar change? And we can talk about that a little bit after the break. And after Ed plays and I do another meditation. But in the meantime, what would your life be like if you opened the door to love and started beaming it at others? And finally, love has a lot of healing power. There are many examples in history of sending love to a person with an illness that brings about a tremendous healing. And I've been able to witness that in my life as practitioners. When we pray, we notice that there's healing that takes place. So, if there's a situation in your life where there's a conflict, sometimes sending love to that situation can bring about a tremendous change. It's wonderful. And so, I want you to listen to these words and allow the door of love to open. I embrace the infinite abundance that flows effortlessly into my life. Each moment is a reminder that I am a vibrant co-creator with the universe, surrounded by a wellspring of limitless possibilities. As I open my heart and mind, I invite prosperity, love, and joy to manifest in all forms. I attract endless opportunities that reflect my inner wealth. I stand in the truth of my abundant supply of love. And so it is. And as I'm talking, I do feel that abundant supply And I'm looking out at you guys, and I'm sensing that there's a certain amount of love flowing among all of us, and it's wonderful. It's like, why didn't we start out that way, loving people in our lives? Well, some of us weren't taught, like me. And I'm so grateful to Holmes for showing it to me. So what we're going to do, oh my goodness, I'm sorry, but as a New Englander, I don't tend to talk a lot when I give my talks, and I'm done talking for a while. And I think we need a break. So why don't we, let's see, it's 10, 11:36 now. How about at 11:50 we get back together and we'll have some more fun, and hopefully,
All right.
There it is. I was waiting for the recording in progress. Ready, Judy?
Yes. The inner self, the spiritual self, the God self exists here and now, and it's flowing through every organ and action and function of his physical being. And we rejoice in this, and we permit it to be so. And he expects it to be so because it is so. We know that every person who has asked for direction, wise counsel, receives it. And everyone who's asked for greater success in life or love receives it. With him, we accept the gift of heaven from the God of love and peace and joy. Now, as we turn to that divine presence, which is both man and God, we receive the beneficence of his love, the outflowing of his spirit. And as we turn to each other, we bless each other, and we make the God of love be and abide within us forever. And so it is.